But we have another caller. I think someone from Rhode Island.
No, this is Kenneth from Atlanta.
Oh, 404, that's Atlanta. I keep 401 is
of all area codes that you should know. You should know 203.
Yeah, the one area code I should know. I think that's
just
the
you're in trouble.
Who are we talking with?
Dennis in Atlanta.
Dennis, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, first of all, one comment. You guys were talking before the podcast about ways to avoid blisters, and the way I've found doing a lot of hiking is no cotton socks. For some reason, cotton will give you blisters left and right.
Yeah, it absorbs moisture and doesn't wick it away really well from your feet. I like the Coolmax socks.
I usually just use the regular ones that are specifically designed for hiking, but it really doesn't seem to matter what the material is as long as it isn't cotton.
Yeah, I think cotton will absorb a lot of the moisture, again, to keep it close to your feet. I like a combination of duct tape and Vaseline, too, but that's just me.
Duct tape works.
Have you
patented that yet? No, not yet.
The duct tape does work. You just look really weird.
You're not plastering on your head, Matt. It's on your feet, and then you put socks over your feet.
I know, but you scare the kids, you know.
Scare the kids.
Did you have a question for us, Dennis, or are you just sharing a tip?
No, I had two questions. The first question is, last time I was at Disney World, I decided to finally see The Kiss Goodnight and print it out off the live Disney site, I think, Steve Soar's site, when it would be. The fireworks are at 9, and so I stayed for 9:30, the first Kiss Goodnight, and I waited for 45 minutes, and there was not a Kiss Goodnight. What did I do wrong?
Scuba?
Usually it's 1/2 hour after the completion of Wishes, Dennis, and then I believe there are going to be some nights when they will do it 1 hour after that. And sometimes they do it two times a night, and sometimes they will do it only one time a night, and sometimes they won't do it at all. My advice is that if you go into the Magic Kingdom some evening and you're intending to stay for Wishes, I would stop off at Guest Relations in City Hall and ask someone in there if they know whether or not Kiss Goodnight will be shown after Wishes. I mean, I did that one night, and I found out that they weren't showing it. And then another time I went in, they said, yes, you know, just about 30 minutes after the final song, we'll show it. So it's always good to ask when you go into anything involved.
Okay. And my other question was, I've got two nieces ages 6 and 7, and due to family complications, they only live a few hours away, but I can only take them down for one day at a time. So I've told them, like, every 6 months a year, I'm going to take them down. They want to see princesses. I'm thinking about getting a park hopper without expiration so that I can take them a couple of parks. And Magic Kingdom and Epcot seem to be the best. And I'm looking at the Akerhosh meal for lunch, although I hear that they do photos that you have to have or something like that. So I'm just curious, what the good ways are to take the girls to see the princesses, figuring in that I've only got one day to take them?
I can help with that. Well, I'm not sure that Akershus has mandatory photos like Cinderella's Royal Table does. Do they?
They don't have mandatory. Because
no.
Brian Bennett and I went in, and they asked us, and Brian and I looked at each other and said, no, we really don't need a photograph with Aurora. So we went right to the food. So I don't believe it's mandatory.
No, I don't think it is either. So Paul, one possible schedule for you is to do like a dinner at Akershus and do the morning in the Magic Kingdom.
I'm looking at like the one of the last lunch sitting. That way, I can spend morning to early afternoon in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and then
good idea.
Skip over about 2-3 p.m. around Epcot. Do the meal. I know the characters pop up in front of a lot of the World Showcase up till about 5 p.m. and figure get in that way. Also, on the Akerhosh, can you still take your own pictures if you're not paying for the pictures?
Sure, you can take your own pictures. So I think the one thing I would say, though, if you do start at the Magic Kingdom in the morning and you want to visit the princesses in Toontown, you got to be there when Toontown opens, because if you're 5 minutes late, the wait is like 20 or 25 minutes to meet the princesses, and it just throws your whole day off.
Which ones do they have there?
Okay, when I was there, they had Snow White, Belle in the yellow costume, and Aurora? I don't remember. I lose track after two. I don't know what to say. I was trying not to freak people out by being, when I was there, being the middle-aged guy trying to get princess autographs and photos. So I tried to limit my time there.
I understand. Nice life. And by the way, I'm listening just on my phone. Is Deb there?
I'm right here.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that your website was my entry into the world of everything Disney, and it was my total education for going to the park for the first mini trip. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome. And like I said earlier, there's a huge team that work on the site and the newsletter, and everyone does a fantastic job. So thank you very much.
Okay, and thanks all for everything you guys do.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 407-278-5939. You know, we're having a really interesting chat in the chat room about the Magic Meets, who's going, how to get there. I know Janine is trying to figure out a way to get there for less than $3,000 because the airport in Harrisburg is like, it's one of those airports that's just ridiculously expensive. But I think we have another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Paul from Hogarth in Delaware calling back.
Sorry, hey, Paul. Hopefully,
hey, Paul.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, so that means I screwed up Dennis's name on the last call. Oops.
Oops.
Sorry.
What can we do for you tonight, Paul?
I've got a question for you regarding to the annual pass, specifically like a premium annual pass.
Okay.
My wife and I are going down for 4 days this fall. And then we're taking the kids down for 10 days in the summer. So for her and I, it seems like an annual pass makes sense. But we like to go to the Adventurers Club, so we're going to go to Pleasure Island one time this trip, and then we'll go one time next trip, as well as taking a water park next time. So we're trying to determine whether that premium annual pass makes more sense than just going with a standard annual pass.
So what I would check is what's the difference in the premium annual pass for two adults versus buying admission on your own. I think you're still cheaper. It's cheaper to buy the annual pass and then do the water park in Pleasure Island admission separately.
Do you get is it because you get discounts as an annual pass holder for those that might make it cheaper?
I know there's a Pleasure Island annual pass and you can bring a guest in too. My guess is that's cheaper than four admissions.
Okay. One other quick question for you. Historically, do they give AP room discounts in? We're looking for like November 2nd to December, November 29th to December 2nd. We can book now, but if the discounts come out, then we can just call back and say, hey, can we apply the discount?
But I think you're better off to book a new reservation than cancel the old one because it's difficult for Disney to update a reservation. But yeah, I mean, you could do that. One of the things we're looking at for the 08 edition of the book is how often Disney offers discounts on annual passes and then what the value is for those. And it turns out for deluxe resorts, it's everything but usually the last couple weeks of the year, like around Christmas time, you can almost always get some sort of discount, typically at things like Beach Club and other deluxe resorts. But you have a pretty good chance of getting an annual pass discount somewhere.
Okay. Well, guys,
I would definitely go do that. That would be my plan.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all your help.
Cool.
Appreciate the show. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, want to get the caller names right? Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
We got a caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Amanda.
Hey, Amanda. Where are you calling from?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. What can we do for you tonight?
I have a couple questions. I'm wondering why Tokyo Disneyland has a lot of better character integration as far as like souvenirs go, and why Disney World only sells like sweatshirts rather than cool knickknacks and stuff like that.
That's a good question. I mean, you look at the hotels in Tokyo Disneyland too. They're fabulous.
Right.
You know, it is a good question. I think a lot of it has to first of all do with a cultural thing, because especially in Tokyo Disneyland, their culture is different than what we have in America. And because of that, they can't just use the same old American, stuff. You got to adhere to what the crowds are. So they do have some very interesting attractions. You know, the whole Tokyo Disney Seas park is like, I think it would be on the top of most people's wish list for things to come to the States. If you're familiar with it, then it's really, if I could borrow a phrase from Len, it's fabulous.
Fabulous!
Well, I lived there last year, so I've been to Tokyo Disneyland about 3 times and Tokyo Disney once. So, I mean, it, the...
How are you getting there from Minneapolis 3 times?
Yeah.
Is that, are you flying Northwest? I mean, are you, you work for Northwest or something?
Are you going to fly your miles?
All right,
no,
awesome.
We are teaching English over there, my husband and I.
Oh, excellent. Is that like teaching English from Stripes?
No.
Mad on a Sunday and my heart stood still. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
But, I mean, everybody, it seems weird, though, because everybody in America loves Disney and, you know, Mickey Mouse and all that kind of stuff. And over in Tokyo, it just seems like it's so much more, and there's so much more options.
You also got to remember, in Tokyo Disney, it's not really owned by Disney. It's only, it's really owned by the Oriental Land Company, OLC, I think. And it's kind of licensed from Disney, is really what it is in effect. So they have a little more control over it. I think it's just, you know, they try different things over there, and what works, you know, works. I mean, look at the other way, Amanda. You know, we got Cinderella Celebration from them, which I think many people did not enjoy. I'm sure there are some that did, but, that's what makes it different. That's the thing that makes it, it's good not to have everybody have the same stuff. That's what makes the other parks interesting. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a good question, though.
My other question is, have you guys ever had a chocolate chip ice cream sandwich from the bakery on Main Street in Magic Kingdom?
No, but that sounds good.
I can go for one of those right now.
It's two, like, chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, I love those. I mean,
ice cream.
Nestle makes one, and
I think I got one in Liberty Square.
Oh, I so have to try this now.
Very, very
good.
Oh,
you're right. I have had it in Liberty Square. Right. What's the name of the place?
Sleepy Hollow Refreshments.
Sleepy Hollow, yeah. I've had it there. Is it the same kind of thing?
Is it different than than the ice cream sandwich you get like in the at the ice cream cart?
I'm sure it's fresh.
It's different.
Freshly made, yeah.
Freshly made, yeah, is correct.
So if I recall, the one from Sleepy Hollow was like as big as my head, and the chocolate chips were melting in my hand, and
yeah, right.
Yeah, yo, that's gotta be fabulous. Was it good?
Yeah.
Len, I hear road trip.
I know. I'm thinking research thing.
It's awesome.
That's all I have.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Amanda.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
407-278-5939. Newell, I don't want to jinx it, but I think we've solved our problems
Shut
for
up.
The evening.
Don't say it.
here we go. Echo.
Yeah, right.
Today.
407-278-5939.
Everything needs to restart once in a while, you know?
Yeah, there you go. And give us a call. We'll put you through. We've got Deb Wills on, and we're just coming up on the end of our first hour. And, you know, we got Deb for the whole other hour. We rented her out just like, you know, just like the characters at Disney. You get Mickey Mouse or Deb Wills, and we got Deb.
I'm cheaper than Mickey Mouse in some ways.
This is value
not in all ways.
4727-85939. You know what I think we should do for the people in chat? I think we should tell them when the phone lines are open so they can call in, because inevitably we're on a delay from what you hear. So when I say the phone lines are open, then the phone lines could not be open. So perhaps we'll have to offer that to our chatters. And, of course, if you want to join the chat, you can go to the WDW Today website at wdwtoday.com. Just simply log in, and you'll see the chat icon on the right-hand side. Click on that and come on in and join the fun. Scopa, we were talking a while ago about what when people come to you, Mike, what's the most common question you usually get? I mean, is it Dole Whip questions, or, you know, is it more
How old
else?
Really are you?
it varies. I'm getting
that was
a
great.
Lot.
What What was Walt really like?
What was Moses really like?
Well, you
really
knew him too.
15 commandments? Oh boy! Recently, I've been getting a lot of questions on the marathon, the half marathon, and a lot of emails on Race for the Taste, Race for the Cure, which is not going to be held in Disney this year. We get a lot of emails on that. I get a lot of emails on Pop Century, the best rooms there. A lot of people will ask me about touring during Not So Scary, and Mickey's Very Merry. Every once in a while I get Mouse Fest questions. It just runs, it depends upon the time of year. Lots of times families will send me email and ask me to help them plan, and that's very, very hard to do because you really need to know what the family is like, what they like to do, if they've been down there recently, if they haven't, you know, what they look forward to when they go down there. It's very, very, it's just a wild gamut, but mostly it's been the running down there, you know, what to do, you know, to prepare to run down there, how things work on race days, and also there's a lot of Pop Century questions.
Great. I heard Mike your interview on that other podcast that Mr. Italian.
You mean you're our number one fan, Matt?
Yeah, my number one.
Wait,
yeah,
I thought he was my number one fan.
No. Wait till the Monday show, Len.
Wait till the Monday show.
He said he was my number one fan.
Did you guys hear the clip the other night? Listen to this.
Please go and check out some other friends of the show, WDW Today, especially Matt Hochberg, who I forgot to mention like I figured I would on last week's show. You know, he's really the glue that holds that show together. He's funny, he's brilliant,
he's witty.
I'm sure many women consider him quite a handsome fellow, and I think I've sucked up quite enough and make up for forgetting to mention on him last week.
So, yeah, Lou is a great guy. I've never said anything bad about Lou ever in my life.
Ever.
Ever. What a guy.
Get a room.
That's funny.
478-5939.
Anyways, you were saying, Matt, about you heard, you were listening to his show, and what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah, Mike, you were interviewed, and you had some great tips about running in the marathon, because Lou is running in it, and he
Lou's running in the marathon?
Yes.
He's running in the half. Yep.
Mangello and Testa head to head next year. I knew I needed a reason. I need a reason to train. Oh, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be so good. I'm going to talk smack for the next 9 months.
I believe his Mr. Voice is also planning. Jonathan Dichter is also planning to. I'm not sure if he's running next year. And I want to give a shout out to our own listeners, Byron Hall, who is planning to run in the 2009 Walt Disney World Half Marathon.
Yeah, excellent.
Good luck, Byron. I know it's going to be a long haul, but I'm pretty sure you can do it.
Yay, Byron. Go ahead.
Woohoo!
407-278-5939. Give us a call. We'll put you through. Len, what's new with the unofficial guide? The new book is out. The February edition, right? So it's still the 2007 guide, but it's the half year rehaul. You take things out that were wrong.
Most of the stuff that was wrong. There's still a couple of things in there that we missed, but that we'll update for 2008. I think the big thing was on the ticket prices and the changes to the Magic Gateway tickets. We updated some of the touring plans, which we're updating again now. The 08 edition, some minor updates to the hotel coverage.
Now,
Jim Hill had complained that the last set of cartoons that we had done for him made him look like a peeping Tom.
Jim's a man of his integrity. I mean, he would never, you know.
Yeah, no, really. And for Jim, really, Jim was like, can you make me look like less of a peeping Tom? He wasn't like completely at odds with it. It was it was just that he wanted just a little bit less creepiness. So we had one of our listeners, actually, Chris Eliopoulos, did a new cartoon of Jim, and it worked out really, really well. Now it's Jim looking over a fence with the Magic Kingdom castle spires behind him. And the reason why I mentioned Chris is that Chris is also a cartoonist for Marvel Comics. It's his day job because, you know, we only attract the best talent here. He's got a new book out called Franklin Richards Lab Rat. He's a son of the Fantastic Four, so if you're a Fantastic Four fan, go out and Google the book look in the book on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hysterical. Yeah, we're going to have him do more cartoons for the next edition of the book. Something, you know, something that shows me dignified, sort of George Washington-like. I think in the
George Washington like.
He's a man of sheepskin, right, Len?
He also, yeah, exactly. Sheepskin, a loincloth.
Discovering fire.
Exactly. You and Ray Don Chung from Quest for Fire.
I'll be in a Geico commercial.
407-278-5939. Awesome. And Deb, you know, speaking of new books, Deb, your second edition, what's the date again that's coming out?
We don't have an exact date yet, but we're shooting for early fall. So I would look for it around September, which is the first, which is the time the first edition came out.
You know, it's funny that people always used to rip on the unofficial guide for coming out, you know, the New Year edition comes out in August of the previous year. Everyone does it now. You just have to do it for the purchasing season, the way people buy books.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It has to do with the publisher and publishing the whole schedule, publishing yeah. cycle.
Now, Deb, what part of the new book is the most interesting to you?
One of the things that's been most interesting is we have asked folks to send in tips and stories, and it never ceases to amaze me the stories we get from folks who talk about how they have been so hesitant for whatever their special need or challenge is to go away on a vacation, but they went to Walt Disney World and they had a wonderful time. Whether it's someone with food allergies or someone in a wheelchair, no matter what the situation, people just talk about how incredibly accessible the park and the resorts are compared to the rest of the world. And while it's far from perfect, I think that is the big testament to Walt Disney World and the Disney parks for making themselves as accessible as possible.
That's a great point, Deb. 407-278-5939. And we're standing by for some calls. Phone lines are open, so if you've got a question for Deb or any of us, it's a great time to call in. You know, Len, we were talking about your book. There was an entry in the 2007 guide about the Halloween party coming to the studios, which has been rumored quite a bit. And evidently, I think one week everyone decided to read the same page of the book because I got a number of questions, like, oh, it's coming this year. It says it in there. Is that still in the book, the new revision?
It's still in the book. I don't know if it's going to happen. I've seen the Disney's internal schedule for hard ticket events through the end of 2007 into 2008. There's nothing mentioned there.
Right.
So I'd be surprised if it was.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if you had any inside information.
I'll check with Jim Hill.
Okay. So one of the things we've been talking about, and we'll probably have to do a show about this soon, is the Magical Meets coming up in July. We were talking about it in the chat room. And, you know, we're all going to be there, all four of us. Deb's going to be there, as well as a number of people. I mean, you know, it's literally a who's who of the Disney internet community. I mean, Lou's going to be there.
Oh, Lou!
Of course Lou's going to be there.
Love you. Lou, you're going to go.
Steve Barrett will be there.
Steve.
Oh, okay. All right.
Steve!
there's a lot of people who are coming. Our good friend Annette, who's been on the show, is going to be there.
Annette!
Oh, Annette! Doesn't really have the same ring as Owen.
No, okay. No, Lou's just...
Len, are you coming this year?
I will be there.
All right.
Yeah, it should be fun.
John Rick from Central Jersey Pin Traders will be there. Right. He's been beginning, I believe, with Lou. Chris Carlson, Disney on a Dime. Pim Foster, who wrote a series of Guide to the Magic. And I understand Becky King, who's a former Disney cast member, will be there. And for folks who will be coming to Magic Meets for the first time, it's like Mouse Fest condensed into 48 hours or 24 hours. It's an incredible day. We have some main ballroom speakers, and then we have a number of breakout sessions where you can go into smaller rooms, and some of us give talks on a variety of subjects. I am actually, I think Fred's approved my talk, I'm actually going to discuss Disney Cruise Line for adults. It comes as no surprise to those who know me that I'm a Disney Cruise Line addict.
You, Deb? No.
No.
While I'm talking about Disney cruises, we actually have a couple Deb cruises coming up in 2008. The good folks at Mousespan Travel, Annette, I think, is in the chat room, have helped organize two group cruises for us next year. In March, we're doing a three-night cruise to the Bahamas, which will stop in Nassau and also Castaway Key. It's a special group cruise, and there'll be some neat surprises for folks going on that cruise.
Like being left on the island?
Yeah.
I mean, no surprises. No, none.
Not like that. And then in September 1st, we have a very special cruise. The Disney Magic is doing a five-night cruise, double dip at Castaway Key. And that's going to be a Deb Wills and Steve Barrett cruise. We've got a lot of special stuff planned for that one, too. And it should be a great time. We've got lots of cabins signed up for both cruises. So if you want a more intimate gathering that's not quite as crazy as Mouse Fest or a day in the parks, the cruise is a great way to go and relax. So,
hey, Newell, can we get Magical Meets? Can we get Mr. Voice to record our all of our hotel room voicemail messages?
That's funny. That's a great idea.
We've got another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Larry from Elton again. Can you hear me this time?
Oh, we can hear you, Larry. Much better.
Terrific. First of all, I want to thank Deb for having forwarded on the email about an article I sent her on All Ears Net recently. I really appreciate knowing that it actually was of use to somebody.
Absolutely. We've got a brand new section on latex allergies on the website, and very excited about that. We've already gotten some great feedback, and I thank you very much for all your help with that.
My pleasure. Now I got a question for whoever would know it, which means probably I'm guessing Newell, but anybody might have sense with it. Mike, I don't know that you ever play on any of your Mouse World Radio stations anything by Michael Iceberg, but do you know if he even still performing or whatever? I saw him in Disney, I saw him up in Toronto, I've seen him in a few places, but haven't heard anything about him for a while.
I haven't heard anything either. I just recently saw him on YouTube. There was a couple of shots of him on YouTube. Quite interesting. If you ever get a chance, go over and check that out. I don't play anything of his because I don't have anything of his. So I don't. That's why he's not on Mousewell. But he is very talented and he's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I remember when he opened Epcot back in '82 and. He was there. He's been all over the place.
Yeah, the clips that I saw of him were out at Disneyland. He was performing, and I'm not too sure where it is because I've never been to Disneyland, but there's a stage somewhat like where Sunny Eclipse plays, where it comes out of the ground, and he was playing in that. That's the clip that I saw. But I do know of him, and I have heard his stuff before.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. If you ever get a chance to check that out on YouTube, just type in Michael Iceberg, and it's interesting.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks.
Thank you for calling in, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. And again, Larry has provided All Ears Net with a great section on traveling to Disney with a latex allergy. I know that's something we get a lot of questions on. He even went into some of the restaurants and foods and such. So please go over to the website and take a look if you have a latex allergy. You're going to be traveling with someone who has one.
Great. Good point. Deb, you mentioned what you're going to be talking about in your breakout session. Scope, have you decided on your you're going to be talking this year, aren't you?
I have about three abstracts that I've sent in to Fred. I may do one, I may do two, I may do all three.
Ooh.
One of them will be a continuation of what I had talked about in the ballroom last year about Disney Magic, and the other two, one will be on what people need to do to prepare to run a race in Walt Disney World, and the third one, I don't remember what it was. I guess you'll all have to go and find out.
There you go. 407-278-5939.
Oh, MouseFest, maybe.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Maybe MouseFest, and I may have a partner in there to help me talk about MouseFest.
Oh, are we doing that again this year?
Who's he coughing for?
I don't know.
I don't know. Funny.
You know,
I might as well book my room now for MouseFest, because last year I waited until November.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, Annette's in the chat room. Just give her your credit card number.
Exactly.
You post the whole credit card number in the whole
Yeah, room. Exactly. Right on the, right on the chat. The I'm sure nothing.
Everybody can book.
Ever happen. Exactly. What? I'm staying where? No, wait. You know what I was thinking, though? You know what I was thinking we should do is we should book like either presidential or vice presidential suites somewhere for the WDW Today crew, and we could do the sweet life of Mike and Matt and Len.
Ooh.
Allow people to come in and look at the suites.
With all that money we're bringing in.
Exactly. With all the money we're...
hey, Matt, it's his credit card. Who cares?
Exactly. Oh,
yeah, there we go. Hello? Bob's paying for it. Hi, we've got a caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Bob Havorka from ANIAC.
Hey, Bob.
I emailed you a couple times, and first I wanted to thank Len for... he helped me last June about... my son was marching in the Music Days parade.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and you drew that schematic you drew me in an email must have taken you like an hour, because it was like dashes and circles. It was hilarious.
I remember.
It was very helpful, and I wanted to thank you for that. I also emailed you a little while ago about annual passes, an annual pass question, and since Deb is there tonight, and it was related to cruises, I was wondering if, and we never really got a clear answer on it. I was wondering if you ever found out if annual passes would also give discounts towards the cruise, like if you did a land and sea kind of thing.
Yeah, combination. I don't, but I'm sure Deb would know.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought, but because there's nothing you can ever find regarding that. They always tell you about park discounts, but nothing related to cruise.
No, with the cruise, your best bet is to book when the cruises are first announced, because Disney has a tiered pricing system, and the closer it gets to the cruise, the more crowded the cruise gets, the more the prices escalate.
Okay. So now, do they? My mother-in-law went on a cruise a while back, and as it got closer to the cruise date, they would move her up on the. They'd like give her, because they booked so early, they'd move you up on levels. Is that a standard practice still?
Not standard practice. I know there's something called you can book a guaranteed category.
Yeah.
So say you booked a guaranteed 11 or 12, which are inside staterooms.
Okay.
If you do it as guaranteed, as opposed to a specific cabin, there is a chance that you will be bumped up, but that you can't count on that.
Okay.
Unless you are a Florida resident, there are Florida resident discounts on the cruises sometimes. But Disney doesn't seem to have a problem selling most of their cruises to capacity, so the discounts are kind of few and far between. You can generally get something. I know this past September they were having some problems with the special 10 and 11 night cruises they were doing in the Caribbean, so they offered some discounts on those. If you want to cross the Atlantic Ocean this spring, the one to the Mediterranean.
My wife wants to do that, but I think we're a couple years away from that. But yeah, she wants to cruise the Mediterranean. That would be an awesome thing to do.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm fortunate enough to be going on the first Mediterranean cruise out of Barcelona, and we'll be reporting back live. There'll be a whole team of us out there.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to hear that.
We're very excited.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The Mediterranean, though, is very port intensive, unlike some of the other cruises where you get a fair amount of sea days. This is an 11-night cruise, and I think we only have 2 sea days, maybe.
I noticed on the itinerary, there's like three, like 2 or 3 days just to get overseas, is that correct? Or do you fly overseas and then you cruise from there?
We're going to be flying to Barcelona and cruising out of there, but the ship does have to get over there, and that's the cruise that's pretty well discounted right now, I believe.
The one that goes overseas first?
Yes, the one from Port Canaveral stops in Gibraltar, Tenerife, and I can't remember the other port. And it's a 14-night cruise. The third and fourth passengers in the room are $99.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good rate.
But it is, I think, seven sea days in a row.
How many?
I think it's seven.
Seven? Okay. I just want to let you guys, I mean, I listened to your show. I can't wait for the next episode to come out. It's what gets me through my day at work here. It's you guys do a great job, and I just want to tell you, keep it up.
Thanks for listening.
Cool. Thanks. So,
appreciate the help, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You know, speaking of cruises, Annette has been hounding us to go on the cruise for MouseFest.
Hounding.
That's right. She's always like, you know, the answer to this question. She'll come on a listener question show and be like, yeah, you know, Port Orleans is a great resort to stay at. I definitely stay there. Hey, Mike, when are you going on the cruise? 407-278-5939. I only say that because she's actually not here to say anything back to us.
Oh, but she can call in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damn. Watch out for those North Carolina numbers.
Especially since North Carolina lost to Georgetown.
Oh, no.
Oh, Georgetown won? Go Hoyas!
I have Georgetown. Oh. I gotta check my bracket. But yeah, call us in. Let us know how your bracket's doing. Forget Disney. that's what you should do, Deb. The All Ears Net bracket.
No, I don't think so.
But getting back to Magic Meets for a minute, I don't think we've announced this, but Fred Block, who's the organizer of Magic Meets, has announced, or rather given us, the WW Today podcast, the exclusive rights to do a live broadcast from the area. So it's only going to be us over there doing the live broadcast. Not Lou, right? Yeah.
You hear exciting. That, Lou? Not you.
Oh, you guys are merciless, absolutely merciless. The man's going to be running a silent auction so that a family can go to Disney World for the Starlight Star Bright Foundation, and you all, I don't
first
know what
star
we're going to do with
you. Yeah, Len.
Yeah, Len. So, those of you coming to
Magic
Meets.
It's all just a front.
Yes.
I mean, yes, he looks like this guy who does all these altruistic things for families, but you know he's running over puppies on his way to and from the studio.
Someone should redo the Cruella de Vil song with Lou Mangiello. Lou Mangiello.
Lou. We love you, Lou.
But getting a bit to what I was originally talking about, we're going to be doing a live broadcast from over there. We're going to set up, we've got plans for. We're not sure how it's going to work out, but we'd like to have a kind of like a studio audience, and we're going to have people over there. We're going to do a simulcast between who's there. You can't make it there because they're sold out, or you're too far away, or you're like Janine and it costs $3,000 to fly there.
$3,000.
You can listen online and call in, and so it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
The connection.
And you know, Len, once the live show is over, there's no cleanup. Someone just comes in and does it. I don't know who it is.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like MouseFest. It's like the little elves come in and I leave and something gets cleaned up. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you a little elf right here.
I get you a little elf right here, exactly. Oh, look, and he's happy.
Yeah.
Oh. 407-278-5939. Give us a call and we'll put you through here.
That's okay. I don't need you. I have help. It's called... The wife.
Oh, how's she doing?
She's doing good, actually. A couple of things, but, you know, hanging in there.
Good.
We've got a caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Bob from ANIAC again.
Hey, Bob.
I forgot. I had another question. This is for Mike Newell. I've been looking for the playlist for the Wilderness Lodge music, and I know there's a lot of different... opinions as far as what the songs actually are, and I was wondering how you got your playlist, your music. Did you actually record that, or is that something that you got a list and then downloaded those songs?
No, believe it or not, that was something a listener sent to me.
Okay,
that was one of the tracks that somebody sent to me. I don't know where it came from. I mean, I know where it came from, but I don't know if it's correct. Coming from the source, I trust it to be good.
Okay. Well, great. That's one of our favorite musical areas, and we always make a point of going at least through the lobby, if not when our kids were smaller, but when we took them to breakfast at the Whispering Canyon Cafe, they always liked
it. Yeah, it's one of the tracks that are more popular. That and the Polynesian resort tracks are very popular. For a resort, that's odd for me anyway. That a resort track is so popular, but usually it's an attraction or background area music for a certain park. But to have a resort track so popular, it's great. It's just and it's a great track. I love listening to it.
Yes. I've seen some of the songs that they're like kind of obscure that you can't even find the actual file for, or the actual song for.
Right,
I just wondered how legitimate some of the stuff is. And obviously, from the internet, it's always 100% correct. You
know? Everything.
Everything's correct. That's right.
Yeah, that's the most trusted source.
Perfect. So,
all right. That's all I had.
Cool. Thanks very much. Cool.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks for calling in. Newell, who was it? Someone in the chat room asked you if there's no bush to hide behind in the Wilderness Lodge for you to
report. You know, it could be that the speakers are high in the ceiling there.
I'm telling you, Newell, I'm going to perpetuate this myth that you walk around with equipment that looks like something out of Ghostbusters, looking to record from.
He's gonna Photoshop
at any given time. Photoshop, yeah, exactly. Shameless plug on the podcast if you can get us a Photoshop of Newell.
No, please, no.